We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. First announces, he sticks his head in the press room and he says, well, there's going to be a special announcement coming up here with South Korea. It's kind of the way he did it was very, very interesting. We haven't seen that happen like that before. And then there was the big news, the big announcement, the headline that was heard around the world. And it was that Trump, President Trump, has agreed to a meeting with Kim Jong-un. And this is about as big of a story, Joe, that you could just possibly imagine. I don't know that anybody's seen this one coming. Obviously, there was a lot of talk about at one point, you know, how close are we to a nuclear war? There was a, you know, you had all this, you had this fake missile attack in Hawaii. You had all kinds of speculation, the pundits talking overtime. Of course, you know, Trump, kind of this was a mess that was given to this president when he took office. But, you know, that's what leadership is all about, Joe. You have to handle the big problems when they come in. So this one is a surprise. Let's talk about this a moment here with Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. What do you think that meeting looks like? How do you think that comes up? First of all, do you think it's going to be held in North Korea? The speculation in North Korea, probably not North Korea, could be in China or it could be at a local Starbucks somewhere, yeah?
Starbucks would be very interesting. I can't imagine that the president would go to North Korea. There's too much potential for a problem there. I mean, you bring the president of the United States to a terrorist state like that, that's on such a lockdown. They could have too much control over him. And we're going to bring people, but we're not bringing the entire Fifth Army with us. So his security, I think, would be too important. I'm thinking maybe South Korea, maybe a place in South Korea, because he's going to feel comfortable there, Kim Jong-un. And I know our president would feel comfortable there. It's close. So I'm thinking maybe there.
So you think there's speculation that in the the militarization zone there, right in the middle of the two countries, you know, you think it could happen there?
Oh, sure. Why not? I mean, that's an area that both sides, I guess the North, if he's feeling paranoid, would feel that his troops are close by, that I suppose you think maybe we would grab him. I don't know if that would be my concern for the president, that they would pull something like that.
Oh, that they might pull something. Wow. Yes. Boy, that would that be. Wow.
You don't know. You're not dealing with stable individuals. You're dealing with this regime that is run by this young man who really has no experience in anything. And now he's in charge of a nuclear power, and he's on the world stage. And people can say what they want about Donald Trump. He's a man that's got some life experience. He's dealt with world leaders. He's dealt with big contracts and money and doing things his whole life. And he has life experience. He's almost 70 years old. Or he's 70 years old. And here's Kim Jong-un. This guy over here is somebody's son. And because his father dies, he becomes the leader of this country that with nuclear weapons.
That's exactly it. He was the spoiled little brat that, you know, and there was a lot of talk he wasn't even going to get this role when he rose to power because he didn't have a relationship with the military, Joe. They didn't really like him, you know.
Right. But I think his father wanted him as opposed to the older brother who was in line or any of the uncles that they have since dispatched.
There was a lot of talk about, you know, what is Kim Jong-un? He's so unpredictable. You know, I think we missed the real answer here to this whole problem, Joe, and I'm going to throw it at you right now. I still believe, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I think if we had we appointed Dennis Rodman as an official ambassador, I think we'd have this thing in the can by now. I think it'd be solved, you know?
That would have been a great idea. I could see it now. You know, Dennis Rodman goes over there, and he could have a parade over there, and suddenly everybody's happy, and he'll give up his weapons, and we all move on.
Yeah, well, he actually had the best relationship with him, actually. He liked him. And you kind of seen a lot of those pictures and videos coming back with Dennis Rodman.
Kim Jong-un, here's what I think is going on with this guy. This guy, what he really wants more than anything is prestige and power. This is the little guy that could, and he kind of has that Napoleon complex a bit here on the world stage. Remember, this is a guy who hasn't left his country to meet with other leaders. This is a guy who probably doesn't leave his neighborhood, you understand? I mean, he is really very protected. This is the most secretive country and leader that is in the world, that exists. One of the stories, Joe, this afternoon, too, I'm seeing is that there was talk about, well, what if he came to Washington? What if we, gave him an invitation to come here? Of course, that wouldn't work either, they said, because he would never do that because he would be afraid that we would put him in jail, is what they're thinking, North Koreans. So it's the same deal. There's no trust there, is there?
No, there's none. And these two particular people, you can look at that and say, I wouldn't trust them as far as anything. I give no trust to North Korea whatsoever. They have backed out of everything they said they would do. They are dangerous.
That's the history. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to learn from history.
Yeah, it's a long history here of this relationship. And the other thing here is that not only do we not know each other well, but there's no diplomatic connection here, Joe. Remember, we don't have normal ties to them. There are no ambassadors in place. There's no communication lines in place. There's no walkie-talkies. There's nothing we can just pick up the, hey, how you doing today? Or we have people in place where they, so that makes a meeting of the minds like this even that more complicated. You know that.
Yes, and that's going to be – we're going to see in the next coming days and weeks how this actually works out because of that lack of communication. They're insulated over there. This young man, I think you make a point, is actually pretty good that he's looking for prestige. He's looking to be somebody in the world, which is why I think you like Dennis Rodman, because Dennis Rodman is larger than life. He's an American superstar, so he's friends with this guy. He's also a young man. And Dennis Rodman is that big, colorful kind of guy that's all-American whatever. And I think he liked having a friend like that, which I thought was when I see how he sees Trump, he might see a friendship with Trump to be almost in that same kind of a vein where that might work in our favor.
That's exactly it. Yeah, you're spot on. And picking up what I said earlier about this the Rodman thing and making fun of that a bit. But listen, what Kim Jong-un wants, there's a very strong possibility here. I'm going to tell you something now. I'll make my prediction right up front here. There's a very strong possibility that this actually meeting of the minds between Kim and Trump goes off swimmingly well, and where they actually forge quite a relationship ahead. Of course, the media will have a field day with this. The media on the left will say, it's two crazy men that get along well. That's why they'll start to look at the psychology of this, and they'll, of course, poo-poo Trump because the guy can't do anything right anyways. You know that, Joe, So they'll go back and forth and poo-poo it immediately and say all this, but I'm saying there's a real possibility of that because, again, when you take a look at all the psychological factors of a Kim Jong-un, this is a young man, like you just said, a very young man who wants to be noted as a leader of a country, of a legitimate country. And he wants to have, he's always worried and overlooking his shoulders about, someone's going to take him out or something's going to happen to his country and his regime more so. And that's a problem that, looking at history, that he is most concerned with. So when people say they're surprised with this meeting, if you look at the psychology behind it, we really should not be surprised.
Well, that's exactly what I'm looking at. I mean, Donald Trump he's not the classic politician. He is much different than that. That's why he gets things done. He uses your weaknesses against you. He uses your strengths as a way to pump you up, make you feel good.
Right.
So he can walk into this guy and offer him some of the prestige of the United States president, looking at him as a world leader and try and work things out. He'd say, could you imagine him saying something like, we could work together on this. You could be one of the great leaders of the world by opening up your country a little, doing
100%.
Some trade, feed your people, be 100%. A tremendous leader that'll go down in history, and that could change the game.
Oh, it could change the total game, man. Total change. I mean, this thing could be like, and then what's going to happen? What's going to happen next is they're going to have to give Trump a Nobel Peace Prize, and they're going to piss their pants then. You know that.
Well, I can never imagine he could solve the problem of cancer. He could work out all these problems around the world, and they certainly will not do that with him. They won't give into it. Although I did hear something on one of the mainstream media today, one of the people who are anti-Trump, unbelievable, that well, if he managed to pull this off, that would make him a great president. And I really thought for sure that person would get fired from their job.
Let's just say Rachel Maddow and company are having a meltdown over there on stage there on the set, actually. Well, listen, the other thing is South Korea, and they come out and say their words were about this whole thing with Trump and Kim Jong-un. You know, three words I'll give you. Three words they summed it up with, the South Korean president. Here's what he says: like a miracle, like a miracle. Three words, Joe, sums that all up. Because remember, these people are looking at, they're looking at being, you know, nuclearized. They're looking at being neutered here, right?
They're living in the crosshairs.
Oh,
and
man.
As this escalates, and I got to tell you, I'm sitting back and watching this, and as crazy as they are in North Korea, or what we all say that they are, there are some steadier hands there that understand. If they were to do anything like that, they cannot stand the power of the United States. They would be literally wiped out.
He knows it, too. He knows it.
Yeah. He knows.
Yeah, of course he knows it. Of course he knows it.
The South Koreans saying it's like a miracle is because these people are living under this threat.
Exactly.
You're going to work something out? That's fantastic.
Well, again, the sanctions have really worked. The pressure the president put on Xi Jinping in China has really helped. China did help a bit with this thing. Russia did as well. There are a lot of pieces here that worked out for this thing. But you got to give kudos. The way Trump played this thing. Chinese President Xi Jinping came out and said he suggests, he urged the two leaders to begin talks as soon as possible, were his words. And he praised Trump's positive aspiration during a phone call with this. And so he was all over this. So that's really big. Well, listen, other things are going on today. I want to give you the nozzle news here. The jobs report. What a great jobs report out this morning. We've got to tell you about that, too. If you haven't seen that yet, payrolls rose 313,000 in February. A lot of new jobs being created here. The economy seems to be on a track that is very favorable for folks. And the jobless rate held at 4.1 for the fifth straight month in that level. That is big, big news. Past expectations. We'll talk more about that as well. Another very interesting story about that I want to share with you that has broke this afternoon as well. And this story is just, I'm so excited about this story is, and you might remember that sailor who got really the book thrown at him for at 22 years old for a few pictures in a submarine that he casually took. And, you know, that he, and there was a lot of talk with the campaign when Trump was out there and about Hillary Clinton circulating her emails and this guy gets jail time. You might remember that story, Joe, and he, just for a few pitches, this, you know. So Trump pardoned him. Christian Saucier got pardoned, and this is so exciting. I want to tell you about that story as well. And what do you think about a Sanders-Warren ticket? That's right, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Pocahontas-Warren in 2020. There's a lot of talk about that as well. Got to tell you about this Oakland coffee shop as well. Lieutenant Joe will have something to say about this. And The View's Joy, that lunatic lady on The View, she comes out and finally apologizes to the vice president for her ridiculous remarks. Well, listen, Lieutenant Joe Panguero, tell folks who you are.
Well, I am a former police lieutenant. I served 27 and a half years on the Jersey Shore. I served in many capacities in that. My favorite was, as I left as a leader, I was a leader of men and women, and I got to help them grow in their careers and in their personal lives and to mentor them. I went on to school security, where I am now a school security individual taking care of a large district in New Jersey. But I also have a training company, and I go out and I train and I teach and I write for numerous articles on law enforcement topics and school safety and security. And I try and bring my opinions and my experience to this kind of work to try and help people have a safer life.
Well, it's awesome. And, you know, I tell folks that Lieutenant Joe Panguero was on Viewpoint this Sunday here and really did a great job. Remember, his specialty is school security. And with that Parkland school shooting, he has certainly a lot to say about that. And that'll be one of the topics we'll talk about this afternoon. More Nozzle in just a minute, friends. Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com.
for a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Couple of cell phone photos, nothing much. I mean, they're just some photos, and they're deemed confidential. You can't take photographs of that, but it's the lowest level of classification, Joe, right? But this was like a big deal to a lot of people, actually. He got the book thrown at him, yet we let all these politicians get off and everything. Well, this thing, going to prison, this guy has wife, young kids, and it decimated his life. He had to work as a garbage man to support his wife. House was repossessed. Problem just to keep the family cars were repossessed. Lost the home, and I mean, had to wear an ankle bracelet and so on and so forth. I mean, you know about the story.
Yeah, and this is absolutely ridiculous. This is a serviceman. Now, I can understand they're not supposed to take photographs in classified submarines or in other equipment that we have. There's a good reason for that.
Right.
The kid took a couple of innocent photographs for his family or his friends to show them, hey, look at me, I'm on a submarine. He's a young man and he's serving our country. The fact that he was charged, I could almost go along with something along that, but the fact that he was sent to prison is absolutely absurd when you see people like Hillary Clinton do what they do blatantly over and over and over again, and you see other politicians just flout the law and things that you and I would be sitting in prison for. So I was thrilled when I heard that President Trump gave this kid a break and got him out. That is justice we're seeing right in front of our eyes. And that's one of those things I thought as soon as he got into office, I said, you know, wouldn't it be great if he could help this kid out? This kid is an American hero.
That's right.
And he did something he shouldn't have done. He shouldn't have been destroyed the way he was destroyed.
That's it right there, buddy. Well said, yeah. Well, you know, Trump talked about this a lot on the campaign, you might remember, Joe. And one thing about this president is if he talked about it during the campaign, most of all of this he's trying to act on. And which is very unusual for a politician. Typically, again, as I said before, they put their finger in the air to see which way the wind is blowing, as you already know, Joe, before they do anything.
And that's one of the things that makes them out of their mind when they talk about him, because he's actually following through. He said he was going to do it, and he's doing it.
And he's doing it.
Makes them nuts.
I mean, it drives them nuts. You know, you're 100% right. It drives them nuts because, you know, there's no credibility anymore. I mean, there's no credibility in the political world whatsoever. You can't believe any of these cats. I mean, they tell you blue, it's red. They tell you it's green, it's yellow. They tell you it's Monday, it's Wednesday. They tell you it's a buck, it's five. They got their hand on your butt, back, your wallet. Of course, you know. So, I mean, this is the nature of politics, you know, on both sides of the aisle. It's just politics in general. They're all corrupt as far as I can see, Joe.
I agree. But I think when you look at it, Malcolm, and you say, was there anything to hold them to account? Well, it used to be a real press. A real press would ask questions about these things.
That made
on
the difference.
Both sides to try and get to the truth. They don't do that anymore. Yeah. They pump up one side, they crush the other, and they lie. And you can't trust them either. You can't trust anything they say.
Yeah, you're so right. That is long gone. That is really the point of this, is there is no fair press. It doesn't exist anymore. And everybody knows it. I mean, everybody knows it. And it's so in your face. You keep wondering sometimes, Joe, how this even works. Like, how can the press be so one-sided? And at some point, does it ever change? Or does it stay this way forever, you know?
I think what's happening here with America Out Loud is the response to that. This network is fantastic because you're going beyond them, and we're getting to hear real opinions, real truth about things.
Right.
And if I say something that you don't agree with, you're going to call me on it.
That's
and I'm going to have to make my point. In the mainstream press, they don't do any of that. They come out and one person, they're like bobbleheads. They all agree with each other. And here's the truth right in their face. Let's just ignore that. And let's just stick with our story. They're not curious.
You're so right.
I think somebody would dig into one of these stories that we have all this truth about corruption and say, well, let's see, is there any real corruption here? Let's follow a few lines. They won't do it. They stick with this nonsense.
You're right. It's
Russian.
Listen, I think we're just, I mean, the real truth of it is, Joe, I mean, really, we're just looking for fairness here. I mean, as most Americans, we just want fair. I mean, we don't really play the partisan lines and the idea. I don't really care about that crap, Joe. You know, it doesn't change my day. If somebody messes up, I don't look at if they got an R or a D next to their name. If they're an idiot, they're an idiot. You see?
I agree. No?
I mean, absolutely, that's the way it is. Yeah. So if you don't like that program, this is probably not the program for you. If you're looking for somebody to, you know, pat you on the head and tell you you're a good little Democrat or Republican, this is not the truthful place for you to be, clearly. And there's too much of that in the world. You're so right when you say there's a rise of alternative news out there. That's exactly what's happening. It's happening, and we're seeing that. Well, listen, back to this Christian Saucia here. This story bothered me a lot.
And I see the leadership of President Trump here, because you know what? This could have sat in the background forever, and totally, we never would have heard about this totally kid. He would have wasted away in the prison until his service was over, his wife and child's life destroyed. But Trump did the right thing. He stepped in and said, this is not right. And he's doing something right. He's not pardoning some corrupt politician because they were in the right area or the right money giver to something. This was a kid serving his country. He did not deserve to be in that
kid
prison.
Kid serving his country. Go on, I tell you, I'd love to interview him, Joe. I'd love to get him on America Out Loud, man, you know?
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, he's a hero here. But, you know, he was sentenced to a year in prison again. He went through such hardships with his wife that, again, the house, the cars, they lost everything. And then when the news came in that this happened, he was surprised. Again, he's working as a garbage man now to support all this. And he was so thrilled to hear the pardon when his wife, Sadie, contacted him. He said, I can't believe it's happened. He said, it's still sinking in. And he texted back, what? With an exclamation point.
Yeah, you know, he gets a little bit of his life and reputation back through the pardon, and that's
Was having trouble getting a job, a respectable job, because this is a felony.
Sure, he has to put that down on a job application.
Exactly.
And he has notoriety. Oh, you're the guy that you know, in some people's minds, did something against your country, and he didn't do anything of the sort.
Yeah. No, not a good thing at all here. Well, listen, I want to let's move it along here and talk about this news today. Again, this has been a pretty good week for the president, Joe, and actually a very good week. Now, if he can just control himself on Twitter over the next 96 hours, it'll be a real blessing, brother, not to be a smartass here. But, you know, because every time there's great news, he seems to step on his message, don't you think?
I do see that a lot. And you see something really great happen, and then he gets excited. And I think he uses that exuberance to say, you know what, and now I'm going to go after this. And he says something like the rest of us do, inappropriate. Only he's the president.
Like the rest of us do, inappropriate. There you go. But he's not like the rest of us. He has a position. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, John Kelly ought to take a cell phone away from him and tell him to cut it out for a few days. Give it a rest. Chill. Everything's good. Send him to the beach somewhere and chill for a few days, you know?
Yeah, I think the tweeting is actually a tremendous tool that he can use, and he can wield it very well. But I think you have to be more strategic. And who am I to give the president of the United States any advice? But it's great power. It does get past the media. It gets past everybody.
That's what he's doing. That's exactly it. No, give him advice, please, Joe, because I'll give the advice along with you. We're giving the president advice right now. Listen, do the tweets more sparingly. Be careful what you put out there. Don't give all of this red meat to these, extremists, you know, these radical people that are just trying to, you know, trash you every chance they can, you know?
Absolutely. It is a powerful tool. And you know what? It's the tool of the modern generation. Mm-hmm. Everything is digital now. Again, just like the program we're on right here. The digital world is the world as long as the electric stays on. And most of these young people out there who are people going to take over the world in the next 20 years, this is their modem. They are on Twitter. They are on Instagram. They're on all these digital locations. And he's smart to use it.
Yeah, totally. I agree with you. What do you think about the jobs report today?
That's fantastic. And that doesn't surprise me whatsoever. When you look at conservative policies, mm-hmm. if you look at policies that worry about people who work, give them back their money and back the government off of them, you will see the economy take off. There's no mystery to that. When you overregulate things, I have a small business. And if I'm overregulated and I look at the bottom line, I say, well, here's thousands of dollars mm-hmm. I have to spend just to be able to do my business. A lot of people back away. Their businesses fail. They can't do it. It starts a cycle that happens. When you relieve that, now, you know what? Instead of spending that money, I'm making it. What am I going to do? I'm going to go buy things. I'm going to invest. I'm going to do more. There's no mystery to this. Every time it's tried, it works. And we just get beat up about the realities of that because it doesn't fit certain people's agenda of how they want to control the economy, control the healthcare and control ultimately all of us.
Well, that's what the plan is. They want to control everything. I mean, it's called capitalism. It's called free enterprise. It's called get your damn hand off my wallet. I mean, it's called, you know, and the government, they don't do a good job spending this money, Joe. Even if they did, you know, maybe you could consider giving them another buck or two. But it's like, you know, you give them a buck and they spend five.
Absolutely. I was listening to a study not too long ago. They were talking about paving some roads. And they said to pave a mile of tarmac, blacktop, right, in New York was like $1.2 million. In New Jersey, it was $1.1 million. In Arkansas, it was $350,000.
Wow.
And that's all goes to waste and to corruption. It's absurd. It's tar. You put it down on the ground, you flatten it out, and you have men and women that can do that. And you can make a lot of road for that money. That's a lot of cash. And it gets wasted.
I'll tell you what. Sounds like a enterprise and opportunity. I bet you and I could put together a company and do it for $275.
Well, I think that's one of the things. I go back to our president when he looks at something and says, "You're building a building here for $45 billion. I can build it for $2.2 billion, and it'll be bigger and more beautiful." Mm-hmm. Because he knows how to do these things. Well, there are experts that can do these things. You know, the $800,000 toilet seat.
Yeah.
That's not said for a reason. That money is all wasted in other areas, and that's
the waste is really the sinful thing of all of this. I mean, I talked about that. I think it was yesterday on Nozzle, Joe. It's the money we waste, the money we waste in Afghanistan and Iraq, the money we waste with government, the money. I mean, our country should be so wealthy, so incredible. The money we've wasted in these trade deals, the money we've wasted with being upside down, the money we've wasted with partnering with countries who are eating our breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert, and everything else. The money we throw away in this country is pave the streets. We could pave the streets with, we could put gold in the pavement. We could just turn the roads now from black to gold if we would just keep our money here, but we don't do it, Joe. We just flood it away, you know?
Well, I was happy to see that one of the steel plants says they're going to reopen and hire 500 people because of what the president is doing.
Wow.
And I think you look and you see, here's one of our great industries, one of our
decimated
American industries that brought us to where we are, and it was absolutely decimated. And for this plant owner to see, hey, if we can make it more fair, we can go back in business and make our own steel for America. And we have American workers doing it because we need steel.
That's great. Wait, do you know where that is? That plant will be? What state?
I think it's out in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I could be
wrong. Right. Well, he did
the other day. I couldn't believe it. Okay. I said, the opening a steel plant. When did you think you would ever?
That's good news. I'd like to interview that guy as well, by the way. That's great. I love these great stories. I get excited about this stuff, huh?
Sure. It all comes backing off of people and letting us do what we do. And the president's making it fair. People are screaming and hollering. They don't like it. It's unfair. All the other countries they have to do is treat us fairly, and we don't have to do this.
But exactly it.
Said it beat up everywhere, and that's not right.
No, it's not right at all. Well, listen, there's a lot happening here today. I want to talk about some other things here. I want to get back to that coffee shop, talk about Parkland, Governor Scott, and he just signed a bill changing the rules in Florida. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. But I want to talk to you first. We're talking about the economy and capitalism and free enterprise. One of the speculative points are, what do you think about a Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren ticket in 2020? And, you know, there's kind of slight speculation. But on March 19th, actually, later this month, Sanders is hosting a town hall meeting about income inequality. Now, these are the same cats who always talk about income inequality. You know, him and Clinton and Warren that are multimillionaires like Dianne Feinstein. They're multimillionaires many times over. They live in palaces themselves. They have armed guards and walls. They have jewels dripping off of themselves. And they want to talk about income inequality. I'm okay if somebody wants to talk about income inequality, Joe, as long as they give us all their treasures first.
Well, you know, when you see those two especially, you know, I wouldn't underestimate that ticket. It sounds like a joke, and I know a lot of people would say, well, we could really go after them hard. There is a huge amount of young people. There were some polls that came out
last year that
they found about 60% of young people said that socialism is an acceptable form of government.
It blows the mind. I mean, I'll tell you what. I just don't even understand this. This is so un-American. It isn't funny.
How did we get here? How do we get to that point?
I don't know. Sanders is a socialist. This town hall meeting they're having, let me finish telling you about this. They're doing this thing on income inequality, again, with Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and they're going to have the film POS. The film producer and director, Michael Moore, which is all, his initials are POS. You can figure out what that is here. Now, what do you think about Sanders, Warren, and then Michael Moore, Secretary of State?
I think we have a tremendous cast there, and then I think we take that Joy Behar, we make her, stick her somewhere in there.
Feinstein, Pelosi, bring them all in. Could you see the country? That would be like, you remember the show The Beverly Hillbillies? They all got into the ramped up bull car there, and they played the music and crumpet, and they're down there. That's what that reminds me of. Here they come, Beverly Hillbillies. You know? That's what I get.
That's quite a visual you paint there. It's akin also to the clown car pulling up.
The clown car, that's what I'm seeing. Put them all in the clown, the Beverly Hillbillies. Put them all in that car, and that's what you got here.
And even that being said, in all seriousness, I would not underestimate one of those tickets, because the left is energized. They really don't like what we're doing. They really don't like to see the economy get better. And I have to ask one question to them, though. I'd say they're so upset over President Trump that they're energized to get rid of him. What has he actually done to these groups that thought, you know, they're out doing the scream against the sky? What has he actually done to any of these groups that were so scared to death he was going to round them up and do things to them? All he's doing is making the economy better, making us freer and safer.
When it says, what are they upset about with Trump? I'll tell you about that in a moment. I know what they're upset about. But before we talk about what they're upset about Trump, you know, the thing about all of this is Sanders, Warren, and all of that, and all of these people that want this socialism, a.k.a. communism, Joe, if that's really what they want, here's the rules of the game. Let's play the rules of the game fairly. Here's the rules of the game. Before you vote for that, as long as you got to give all your guns up. You cannot have any guns on you. You have no Second Amendment. These people don't believe this. You cannot have a gun if you vote for these clowns, okay? Next of all, you can't get any money back from the tax reform. You're not entitled to credit from the tax reform. You can't be on any of the none of the incentives that are happening with this economy you're entitled to. As long as they leave their guns at the door, leave the extra money in a pot, and, you know, and don't play in my parade of goodwill, then I'm okay with it, Joe.
Because, you know, that actually falls back to their basic premise. They want fairness. To me, that sounds fair.
That's fair.
Sounds absolutely fair. And then that's really what they fall back on. And that's what the young people respond to. Yeah. They have this innate desire for everything to be fair, everyone to be equal. And they see, you know, capitalism is not that. Some people have more than others. Well, some people work harder than others. Yeah. Granted, some people do have a hard lot in life to overcome. There is no doubt about it. But you know what? I came from nothing, and I didn't complain. I didn't ask for stuff. I worked hard.
You worked hard. I did as well, buddy. I came to dad. That's it. Same thing.
Take care of my family, and I did it. I didn't complain about it. I went and did it. Got knocked down and got back up. And these kids don't learn that today. No. What they learn is that everything is against everybody, and if we just had somebody who would make it fair.
Right.
That Big Daddy government is the one who has the power.
They think they're going to take care of everything, Joe, somehow. That's it. But it doesn't work that way.
No.
The whole picture of all of this is sadly what's happened here. The other point we were talking about here with Trump, why they feel that way. Trump, he does two things, Joe. He pulls out the best of people and he pulls out the worst of people. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, he won the election because he pulls out the best of people. He knows how to put a team on the playing field. He knows how to communicate. He's a master communicator. He knows how to rev people up. He's a very patriotic dude. He gets people involved and engaged. Got it. But he also knows how to piss them off, Joe, you see? And so back to the Twitter storm that we talked about earlier and these kinds of things. So what's happened is, what you mentioned a moment ago is the key to this thing. There are a lot of people that are highly engaged, and the reason the opposing party always takes back the midterm, typically speaking, is because they're highly, highly engaged, or they're highly, highly angry, they're highly, highly, you know, they're critical, and they get out and they'll go through a snowstorm to vote. Typically, the other side gets a little passive. So your message is what a lot of smart people are saying. A lot of intellects out there are saying on the conservative side, be very careful here. Do not count the chickens. They have not hatched. Do not pass go. Chill. and stay focused on the prize here and make sure, right?
We have to, because complacency is the enemy of everything that's good. And what we can see down the road here is that Trump won because he touched on topics and he said things that people were living in their real lives. They weren't playing these games, pretending everything was good and great the way it was. He touched on it and people took a chance on him. He says things out loud that sometimes, you know, like a regular guy should. He doesn't worry so much about
it. Well, you think he was part of America Out Loud when you say he says things out loud. We get what that means, Joe, here.
Yeah,
but
he says them and people respond to that because they say, I want somebody to do that. I want a guy to pardon this submarine kid.
Exactly.
This guy comes out and does it.
He does it. Exactly. Maybe that's his next career when he leaves the White House. Maybe he'll come and maybe he'll be part of the brass or a columnist or a show host or something and Donald Out Loud. You know, that's a ring to it, bud. I mean, that could be a next life for him since he likes that.
Thinking of panel, Joe, Malcolm, and Donald.
That's a bestseller there, man. Well, anyway, so listen, I got to cover this View story here, Joy Behar here. So this whole story is so off the wall, it isn't funny. So she insults all of Christianity and says and ridicules the Vice President Mike Pence for his belief system and suggests that he has mental illness and that Christians have mental illness if Jesus is talking back to them or God is talking back to them and they're talking back to God or Jesus. And then, I mean, you just can't make this stuff up, Joe. Right. You just simply cannot. And so she comes out and that becomes, and of course she gets the crowd revved up and all of that. Now, the reason ABC has her there is because she is nothing but, she has no political value whatsoever. She is just an entertainer. So she sits there every day and throws these bombs out there, which are totally ludicrous. And then everybody wants to quote her as like it's gospel or something. Right. Well, then what happens is Oprah comes out and Oprah confesses that she's talking to God and God is talking back to her. Well, that was the turning point, Joe. Yeah. You know,
sure. Because once you throw it back at them,
they don't know what
to
do.
Now they have to make fun of Oprah if they want to continue to make fun of Mike
Pence.
That's
it. God, you can't make fun of Oprah because she's, you know, she's a saint, Saint Oprah. We know that. And we like Oprah. We like Oprah. We have no problem with Oprah. Oprah be good. Yeah. So listen, here's the thing. In fact, I think Trump could have picked her. If he didn't pick Mike Pence for VP, he could have picked Oprah for VP. You know, that would have been a winning ticket too, brother. You know, that would have knocked them all over, huh?
I think you mentioned that back in the day.
Probably would have. He would have done it. He's so unconventional. I would have done it. I'd do it in a heartbeat. I don't have any problem with that. Well, Joy comes out and she apologizes. Now, none of this makes the news now, Joe. None of this is on the networks. None of this is on the news. You won't find this anywhere. But she comes out and calls the vice president to apologize. Well, more nozzle in just a minute.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
And so the governor has just signed it today. He's agreed with this new change in laws here in the state of Florida. Some of these things the president is considering nationally, as he's been meeting with even video game makers, meeting with, of course, the gun people at the NRA and businesses. And he's been meeting with all kinds of groups because he does that really well, Joe. Here's the points of this bill, Joe, and tell me if you agree with these things. First of all, there's going to be a 3-day waiting period for all firearm purchases. He raises the minimum age from 18 to 21. He bans the sale of bump stocks. He allows judges to confiscate weapons from people that are deemed a threat. Interesting. The judge can do that now, the judge. And hundreds of millions in funding for mental health and school security. What do you think, Joe? You like?
Well, I got to tell you, I don't dislike them. I'm very concerned about any retreat from our constitutional rights, especially under duress. And I don't mean the governor was under duress. I think the entire country is under duress. When we see this most recent attack in Parkland is different than other ones. Each one has its lessons to be learned and its legacy. And when I see this bill, you know, raising the age to 21, we send people off to war at 18 and we let them have weapons, but they can't have it at home. And we're trying to keep it out of the hands of a kid who's not gone off to the military and has that maturity and that experience. So is it something that somebody under 18 needs a gun? I look and I say, what if my daughter who's 19 lives in an apartment and wants to have a gun for protection? Well, now she can't.
Now she can't.
So I have a little bit of trouble with that. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, that's a scenario you paint that's being talked about a lot, is the young lady who's 19, 20 years old. You're 100% right.
Yes.
But instead of banning all guns, why not just get into certain ones? Like, again, like this kid, this young kid who goes in and purchases an AR-15. And of course, Joe, and we know everything against his record. He should have never been anywhere near allowed to get anything close. He shouldn't have been able to buy a water pistol.
Right. The only concern, again, a concern I have there is we say we're going to start deciding, well, okay, you can have a handgun, but you can't have this particular rifle, when my rights say I can have this gun. So I understand the meaning behind it. We want more mature people out of that high school range, that just out of a college range, before they can get possession of these weapons, so that maybe they have a little more life experience. They get their problems under control, whatever, so they don't go back.
Don't agree so much with the raise of the age. You're not on that page then, huh? That one you don't kind of agree with.
I understand it, and I don't want to say I'm neutral about it, not something I would have come up with.
I think the president's going to, I think this is going to be tricky, because the NRA wasn't feeling that one either, obviously. They didn't support that, but I think he's going to do this federally. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I think so, too. I think there's pressure that's on, and this is what I'm talking about. When I say, and you know, I study these kind of things, and I'm looking at this, I'm saying, what's different about this incident? Because it's not ebbing, it's continuing. We have a governor sign in Florida, of all places, signing a gun law that has a lot of things that people have a hard time with. And I think I've boiled it down to the differences, you know, legacy and lessons. Mm-hmm. Prior to Parkland, Florida, we had a horrible incident, but we always said, wow, if we only had cops in place, if we only had more equipment to protect us, if we only had better mental health in place. And in Parkland, every one of those things, that like a drowning man hanging onto the raft, was wiped out from under us. There was cops there. Right. And the officer that's there, for whatever reason, didn't do the right thing. So that kind of takes away.
Well, I'll tell you what the reason was, is because he was chicken. He didn't want to go in and fess up and find the guy had a bigger gun than he had.
And whatever it was, in the eyes of, I think, so many people, is that what we thought was, if we only had a cop at the school, everyone would be safe.
Well, let's talk about that a moment here, because as I've stated before, yesterday or day before on Nozzle, a couple of points here. We talked about that. You know, when Israel had that major, over 100 kids were mowed down many years ago in Israel, and they changed the rules of engagement out there, you might remember, Joe. And now they have armed security, officers, police officers, at all the schools in Israel, and they don't have any more of these problems. Now, there's been a lot of talk here in the States, but again, we're not protecting our kids. We protect a lot of other things, and yet the schools have become a major soft target. And there are other soft targets, too, we'll talk about as well in a moment here, but I think this whole thing, and one of the other things he did with this bill, by the way, in Florida, Joe, he created a $67 million program for sheriffs to train teachers or other school personnel, if you will. That's how they're labeling it, school personnel, and teachers included in that, on how to take down an active shooter. What do you think of that?
I'm skeptical. You have an active shooter, and the reality is the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. I that's a cliche, but it's true. So you're going to train these young teachers, and there are programs out there that teach, here's how you should jump on them, here's how you grab their leg, here's how you pull the gun so that they can't fire, here's how you throw things at them. These are young people that are in a school or in some other location, and you got somebody firing away with a rifle like that makes a tremendous sound. It's scary. And to ask them to go attack this person, I don't think it's realistic. I think it's another response we have out of our panic. What can we do? Just like arming teachers. Oh, it sounds like a great idea. Let's give the teachers guns. They could fight back.
So instead of them being properly trained, the teachers, the school personnel, you're questioning that, okay. But as far as having armed police officers there, you support that?
Oh, yes, I do. Absolutely.
Okay, good. Let's be clear.
Because
good.
They're trained. Good. But I think we have to be clear on that, too.
Okay. All right.
Depending on the size of your facility, you have one police officer with a handgun, maybe a rifle. I don't know if they're going to have him walk around with a rifle in the school. Mm-hmm. So he's got a handgun. He's at one end of the school, and a kid at the other end of school pulls a gun out of his backpack and shoots 25
Joe,
people.
What you're describing right now is Parkland.
Yes. So that's that officer Parkland. Is basically, yep. we're pretending we feel good about it because there's a cop
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
We need a cop on every floor
exactly.
and every hall. To make it safer, you know, other than that,
exactly.
it really makes us feel good, but does it really do much?
Well, Joe, I picked up my son from school here this week here. And when I picked him up, he's 14 in middle school. I noticed all the doors are locked. You can't get entrance to the school. I mean, the doors are totally locked and they have to buzz you in. You understand? You got to be
yes.
buzzed in.
Sure.
So if I arrive at the door, whether I'm dad or not, and I arrive there with some bags that look like there's something in the bags, guess what? They're not going to buzz me in, Joe.
And they shouldn't.
Because they're all windows right there. They're all they're all windows, Joe. So right or wrong?
Oh, and that's absolutely right. And what we need to teach people is what is suspicious? Okay, you got a guy with a bunch of bags. If right. you're expected to come and bring me a bunch of things in a bag, right. now I know you're coming. You show up with bags, right. I'm not letting you in until I find out what's in there.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. No, I mean, that's the way it's got to be. Yeah.
Be surprised.
Well, yeah, because you can take that right out, take the whole front and get into the schools, and that's what they're doing because these people are crazy. They're obviously got some mental problems. There's no doubt about it, just like this killer in Florida here who
sure.
snuffed out these seven. And the situation you describe with the killer is exactly what happened in Parkland. He had a small gun. So when you say, well, why didn't he take it? Everybody's surprised. Why didn't he take him out? Because he didn't want to risk his own life. He was willing to risk the 17 kids and all those injuries and everything. And I'm going to call it as I see it, Joe. But he wasn't willing to risk his own life. You see, that's the difference. But he was supposed to be there doing a job. Do I condone that? No, I think he's a coward. Obviously, he's retired, got his pension now and everything else, and I think he's a loser. And
it's a tough thing when we expect our police
yeah.
officers to go. I had to train and teach these young cops when as a lieutenant in my department in the county. I would go to the police academy. And the hardest thing I had to teach them was, you know, in these kind of events,
yeah.
this may be where your family, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whatever, this is where they get the folded up flag and they get a nice plaque about you because you may die in this incident.
No,
but that's
you.
Why you
that's
take fair. The oath. That's
fair.
Why you take the job.
That's right.
Because sometimes there's hard things to be done. And
Amen.
You need to-
Amen. It's what our military does every day and our law enforcement do. And that's why people, Americans out there, and I mean, the people, our listeners, that's why our listeners love our military. They love our law enforcement. But that's because our kind of a listeners. That's because that's what America Out Loud is. We honor our patriots here. You see, if we're going to advance humanity, Joe, we got to honor these people. These are the people who are on the front lines doing this kind of stuff. So that's not too much to ask, Joe. I mean, that's not too much to ask. I mean, come on, you know.
Not at all. I mean, our patriots, you're right. Our men and women in the service, you think about what they put on hold. They put their lives on hold to serve their
Absolutely.
Country.
Absolutely.
You know, these young cops, a lot of them, they told, why do you want to take the job as a cop? And the pat answer everybody knows is, I want to help people.
They want to do good.
And you say, okay, well, who are you going to actually help? You're going to arrest people. You're going to do this and that. The reality is you do help a lot of people.
That's right.
And these are not everyone is going out to be a cop.
Right.
We got good men and women that want to be cops, want to go into our service and protect our nation. And you're right. We have to value these people and let them know how important they are to us because they are
the
of what keeps society sane. Otherwise, we have
Absolutely.
Chaos.
Well, last point I want to make with you on this, so there's a lot more to get to here, is that, you know, you mentioned the age thing. I just want to circle one last time. 18-21, I got it. That's what it will be in Florida. They've now passed that as law. I do give compliments to the Florida legislatures and this group here who moved in lightning speed to put action and honor the parents and the children by doing something they felt would do something. Instead
yes.
of doing nothing, Joe, which is what they always do after these things, Joe, let's just take a moment and honor them a moment because they did something, Joe.
No, I agree. And the Malcolm, when I say I'm neutral on everything in that bill, it's because I want to make sure that we didn't just knee jerk and do something that's going to have consequences that we didn't think about down the road.
I hear you.
We have to do something.
Have to do something. We've got to, exactly. And a lot of these things are not, you know, listen, I think background checks to the hilt on everybody. Yes. I've said that. You heard me say that, Joe, from the beginning. If you got screws loose, we want to know about it. You're not entitled to anything at that point. Like this kid, this killer in Florida should have never gotten anything. He should have never had it was sinful, just the fact that he got what he got. He shouldn't have, like you said, been able to get a water pistol based on his record.
That part of the bill with the 3-day waiting period, right, that I can support. Absolutely. Because you know what? I can't imagine waking up on a Thursday and going, you know, right, today I have to have an AR-15 today.
Exactly. I agree.
I'll apply for it. I'll pick it up in 3 days. Exactly. I want my hand and I'll get it in 3 days.
Joe, we
have to all agree on that if we're going to make ourselves safe.
We got to all agree on that. You know, Dr. Ron Martinelli was on the other day, our forensic criminologist and one of our experts here in America Out Loud, and he was saying he surprised me with this. I don't know if you heard him, but he came out and he wanted to really surprise me. He wanted to raise the age to 25. Tell me a moment here. You have a training program you're working on, something that you were telling me about recently that sounded pretty big. Can you just take a few seconds to tell us what that is?
Yes, I'm trying to find a way in our schools. You know, this kid in Florida, again, like I said, legacy and lessons, and we're trying to learn. We have to learn from these things. The fact that we went to this kid's house so many times, the fact that we knew he was a danger, that he said things, we see many, many times in these type of incidences where these kids do display this. They don't just wake up one day and decide to kill people. It's an ongoing type of thing. And we're not tracking it well. We're not keeping track of it. I don't mean going to the police and tracking people that way, but even in the schools, small acts of violence, small acts of bullying and problems should be investigated. And we should keep track of that. There should be people that pays attention. Yeah. That little Bobby, okay, he's getting in fights. All right, all kids get into fights. Now little Bobby is bullying. Now he's on social media bullying. Now he's on things saying he's going to do dangerous things. Mm-hmm. Now when do we step outside and go, now we're seeing a pattern of behavior that's very clear that potentially could be dangerous. We need to do something more. Maybe that's psychological counseling. Maybe that is a more in-depth in-school investigation.
I like it. We have to
keep track so we can find a kid like this.
We need to keep track, Joe. We need an identification program to keep track. And I think all law-abiding citizens understand what that means. It's just, it's time. It's time. And so I applaud you for that. And I encourage that program to come to the national airwaves here and people to really look at what you're doing, the kind of work you're doing there. Listen, this whole thing about soft targets, Joe, it just brings me to really get people to understand. You've got to be conscientious today. You've got to watch out with your family and your children, your others. You know, Joe, I'm even talking about the movie theaters. I'm talking about, you know, the public venue, the stadiums, the arena, anywhere where there's a mass amount of people. It's not just the schools. It's all these soft targets, and especially, God forbid, these ridiculous gun-free zones they have out there, which to me is an oxymoron. You might as well put signs on and invite the criminals in. But things like this veterans home in Yountville in Northern California, for instance, Joe, again, where you get these active shooters that come in, and a veterans home. I mean, come on. You know, so what's sacred anymore, Joe?
Well, when we look at these kind of things, it's just like having a cop in a school. Mm-hmm. There are illusions of safety. We are only as safe as those who want to hurt us allow us to be. Unless you're in a prison. Prison is locked down and safe. You got to go through metal detectors. There's fences. There's guys with guns. Right. You can't just walk into a prison and bring a weapon in there and do something. You're going to get hurt. But in a mall, in a movie theater, at a baseball game, if somebody wants to get us, we're going to get it. I was at the parade in New York City, and New York City PD is one of the best police departments in the world. And there were thousands and thousands of people at the Thanksgiving Day parade. And I was out there with my family. And of course, I'm concerned about safety and security. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around, and they got the Hercules units, and they got the guys with the machine guns, and they got undercover cops all over the place. And I looked around and I said, I'm standing in the midst of 10,000 people on this corner. And if any one of them wanted to do something bad, all of that security they have in place would not stop somebody from doing it.
That's it. That's it.
It's an illusion of security. Right. It's the way to find these things out is through investigation, sharing of services, and getting to follow-up things that when people see something, say something. Without political correctness, let's figure out.
See something, say something, but we got to, that statement doesn't work anymore, Joe. We'd see something, say something, do something.
Well, do something. You're right.
Absolutely. That's the new statement, Joe. We got to have, so remember that, especially in your line of work, you got to remember that. So say something, see something, do something, because they didn't do that in Parkland.
That's the legacy of Parkland.
The legacy of Parkland. If we're going to honor these souls that were lost and gunned down, and I just hope one day this thing becomes a thing of the past, and there's nothing sadder than this. And again, mental illness is a real problem, and anybody who would go to that heights to do any of this stuff is certainly got is a problem for mental illness. There's no question about that. Listen, I want to tell folks as well that this is a hell of a story here to me, that King Solomon here from Saudi Arabia. So he makes a promise. Get a load of this bet, Joe. He makes a promise to build Iraq a stadium if they are the winners of this game back on February 28th. Now, they were not, and they were obviously not favorite. They were supposed to lose. They were massively under task for this game they were playing there. And guess what happened, Joe?
What's that?
Iraq beat them 4-1 in this. Beat them 4-1, and so guess what the king is going to do? He's going to build an amazing stadium that will seat the largest stadium in the world. It will seat 135,000 people in Iraq as a gift and a present from Saudi Arabia.
Well, I think that, you know, if it helps bring some jobs to that world and helps people there have some enjoyment. I know that I think soccer's pretty big there. They might be able to enjoy the stadium.
That's exactly it. I just hope that when you're building these stadiums, they take terrorism in consideration, because a stadium like that would become an icon for that sort of a thing. And that's ground zero for these lunatics out there with car bombs and stuff like that, Joe. So it's never
that
a good
would
scene.
Become instant target number one.
That's what I think. So especially when I seen the pictures of the stadium, because it absolutely looks magical. It looks magnificent. So the king has already got a look and feel for this thing and everything. I'm just wondering if he maybe we'll make a bet with him and we'll put one in Detroit or something. They could use the economy there in Detroit. Maybe the king will allow us to bet on that one. Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, please take 30 seconds and give us your predictions.
Okay, let's see. I think we see a year from now that the economy really picks up and heats up, and I think we start to see people maybe get along better when the economy is doing better and everybody is seeing, hey, we got to get past this now, and we are making money, we're being able to do the things for our families that we want to do.
Wow.
And hopefully that will change. You know, we'll see the sun come up in America.
Well, I got to tell you, the sun up in America, and the first part of what you said, the prediction, I almost think you must have banged your head in the last segment somewhere when you said everybody's going to get along or something. I'm not sure what that was about, but that's more than a prediction, brother. That's a really big, big wish. Listen, I got two predictions for you real quickly, friends, here again. You have better luck that my prediction's going to come true than Lieutenant Joe here. My prediction is that Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump have a fantastic meeting of the minds, and that Kim Jong-un becomes really gets a real interesting partnership with Trump, and they begin to fix this thing, and the Korean Peninsula goes back to peace. That'll be my prediction there. My other prediction, friends, is we'll be back same time, same place on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nazel off.